I'm picking my way through about 150 years of history. Actually, I suppose that unpicking would be a more appropriate term. Not a lot of people know this, but I am somewhat skilled in upholstery. When I had my first child over 8 years ago now, I needed something to get me out of the house and just to something physical, actually, to do. And I went to an upholstery class, spurred on by a big blue old sofa that I had inherited from a flat that had then been sold, and I'd been given this beautiful old sofa. But it was desperate and dying and desperately needed upholstering. So I thought I'd pop along, do a couple of classes, and then whiz bang reupholster a whole 4-seater sofa. Well, the sofa came and went, but the skill in upholstery, traditional upholstery, stayed with me. I think my husband used to dread me leaving the house, because every time I came back for a period of a couple of years whilst we were renovating — we live in a very old house and we were renovating it — I'd come back with another chair, a desperate, tired-looking piece of furniture that just needed a little bit of help to get it on its way. I'd stopped doing this for a while as we filled a house so full of chairs we could hardly live in it, all of them tired and sad. But a couple of years ago, I spotted there's an amazing place in Manchester called Failsworth Antiques, and it's sort of house clearance place that antiques dealers come to and sort of gather up whole floors of a warehouse and then revamp very cheap old furniture and turn it into very expensive antique furniture. So I like noodling around in the dust, and I found this beautiful, probably Victorian child's bench. It's stuffed, springs, horsehair stuffed over base, and the back of, and the bit you place your back on as well of the chair is all in fabric, with little turned legs and turning on the wood, which is engraved and inlaid. And actually the material wasn't so bad, but of course I put it in the living room and the kids picked and picked away, and a slightly tired piece of furniture became an unusable piece of furniture, and I put it to one side in a corner of the bedroom to restore. So I've set two, and there's something in — I know it doesn't seem like a very interesting subject, but there's something completely fascinating about when you pull the layers of an old piece of furniture away, you are staring at stories. Those of you that know me know I'm obsessed with stories, but you know, a piece of furniture like that has lived, you know, longer than the people who've sat on it. And every time you remove a layer of material, you are staring at another piece of a jigsaw, another part of that chair's history. Another period in time, another place, another reason to cover it. Maybe it's fashion. In one of these layers, it was clearly there was a big stain on the back. And what happened? How did it happen? What's the story of that? So we start with a cream, what I describe as now as a sort of Laura Ashley style print, cream with lots of coloured flowers on it, big thick rose type flowers. Which is not an upholstery weight fabric at all, really, more like a curtain fabric. And then I peeled that, and that's the one the kids ripped, and I peeled that away, and underneath is a sort of brown, heavy upholstery weight fabric, tapestry style. And then underneath that, and I imagine that's from the 50s, really, and underneath that fabric, which is clearly the sort of thing you'd have on those big, round-backed, heavy 1930s weighty sofas. I forget the name of the material. And underneath that, a deep, rich red velvet, which clearly — and I know because I peeked underneath it — but clearly is the material it was once covered in. And that isn't on the base, so why that was taken off, I don't know. I don't know what the story is there. But as I peeled the flat backs of material, the final layer, the red velvet, is a button back. And you know the sort of thing you often get on 70s headboards where there's a button piercing the material. And nobody knew that. I didn't know that. And I'm left with this dilemma. Do I and it's hard work, do I button back the next layer, or do I do something contemporary with this? But I now have the power and the skill to make this piece of furniture live. It's worth nothing in its current state, really, but make this furniture live on for another life and to, you know, well, all the memories it will see in our life, and I hope, you know, for future beyond us. And so what I've decided to do is I'm going to leave a little story and a little bit of its current history inside, underneath the English webbing, between the springs. I'm going to put a little package which has a piece of all the materials that I have pulled back that have been covered over the years, so that they can see, whoever looks again and whoever reupholsters this again, if that happens in the future, they can see the chair's history and the story. And I'm going to say a little bit about us and about why I upholstered it and where it lives in our house and who sits on it and why we own it, so that the story may continue beyond us. I'm reminded and have been thinking about it all day. I must dig it out somewhere. But when I was working for the BBC, I recorded, it was a the actress Barbara Martin read a play by Doris, not a play, a short story by Doris Lessing, called The Death of a Chair, about a woman who buys an old chair from an auction, and who this chair lives with her in various houses and moves with her, and it's too bulky a piece of furniture. And eventually, because she can't get it out of the last house that she lives in, she pulls its layers away and eventually destroys the chair to get it out, and in doing so discovers a big, heavy, rough old piece of furniture is actually covered in the most exquisite, delicate pink silk, and has a huge stain on it. So, you know, again, the same thing, really, looking at the story of the chair and her wonderings. So I shall unpick through this, and I shall bring not the death of a chair, but the life to a chair. And I may even boo when I've proudly finished it.